Accession number 30062, reel 13.
Then, having done that, the headmaster said to me, I like to have heads of departments who work their guts out for me and who are full of beans and everything else and do everything in the school, and if they want to get a headship after that, God bless them. I'm not trying to keep anyone. And so after 3 years, I started looking at headships, because I was getting old, you see. About 33 by then, 32 or something. And I went for two headships, and I got Kendall Grammar School, which was absolutely marvellous. They had 348 applicants.
And you got it.
And we had five marvellous years up there. And then I got the headship of Maidenhead Grammar School. And then after 9 years, nine years, we had to go comprehensive because of county policy. And fortunately, I kept my staff, and the policy was very good, new buildings, and a gradual comprehensivation, whatever they call it, going upwards, with the first year only being comprehensive and going gradually up, until I'd been there all through the grammar school era, and then all through the comprehensive, and we got up to the top. And the last comprehensive, the last grammar school entry, had been the largest and the best we'd ever had. And they were still there, right at the end, when we were fully comprehensive. And they were absolutely marvellous, and they got 15 of them decided to apply for Oxbridge. And of those, 11 got awards.
Wow, that's amazing.
And in there was a table in the Times Educational Supplement of the awards, and it said Manchester Grammar, Bristol Grammar, one other school, and then Desborough, brackets C, for comprehensive. So league table worked even then.
Even then.
And then further down the list were Eton and Harrow.
Well, that was comforting.
Enough, I think, enough.
Well, the only thing, and you're at totally at liberty to say no, but I just wondered, we did talk about possibly you singing some of the songs, but I didn't know how your voice was doing.
I'm doing all right.
Is it? Because we talked, if you did fancy it, we should set the scene, because you were saying about how... sort of how you'd relax in the parties on the boats. I wondered if you could just talk a bit about that.
Oh yes, that's right. Well, the way, the only sort of entertainment, we did very little going ashore, even in Bastille, which was a nice little French port, I suppose ravaged by the German occupation before, and I remember, I think there were bars and things, but I wasn't terribly interested. My interests were all in the Navy, and I was young, and I didn't feel like all that stuff. And but I did enjoy, more than anything, the gatherings we had. There was a tradition in Coastal Forces that you had lunch parties at 11 o'clock or 11:30. If you were in harbour, and there was nothing on that night, you hoisted pennant 9, and then you could be host, and this happened with different boats doing, and that meant you are invited to a general get-together for drinks before lunch or something. And they were lovely parties, enormous numbers of people. And although our supplies of booze were not great, because it was a ration of one bottle per officer per month. So if you were lucky, you got that. Also, I don't think I should be saying this on the tape. I'll tell you afterwards.
Oh.
No, it might come tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine, afterwards.
And also we had parties in the evenings when the crew were doing nothing else, and so you could let your hair down in the wardroom. And if we sometimes we'd had a gathering of 20 people in this tiny little wardroom, all sitting all on the floor and on the six on a bunk, you know, or put up another bunk, lifted up, and put them on the top deck, you see. And we have one of the senior officers, and I'm not going to say who he was, who'd been at Balliol and also played cricket and hockey, I think, for the for the college anyway. And they had typical and slightly pre-war, just about the end of the peace, tremendous reputation for letting their hair down. You know, this was the time when on bonfire night that they would knock policemen's hats off, and you know, it was almost traditional that students did stupid things then, not like now where there's no need to do anything like that, but they don't do it. But this was all good-natured sort of thing, you know. And but they also sang their hearts out on these coaches going to matches, and they had this huge repertoire of rude songs. And I mean I just enjoyed singing, and I always had done. And we included all sorts of ordinary songs. I even sent home to my father for a community songbook, the Daily Mail community songbook, which had all the words of all and the tunes of all these. But you know, anything would come through. But his repertoire was absolutely astonishing. And people enjoyed them so much that they'd come back and we'd do the same thing a few nights later, you know. And and I was telling you, I think, off the record, that we had these marvellous evenings when occasionally we'd go ashore in Bastia, but only someone had a jeep or something, or could get hold of a jeep, to a little port a few miles north called Erbalunga, the long grass it meant, you see. And there was a lovely little pub with, we were outside and with tables and people with pints, but I didn't have pints. I had an absinthe or something like that.
That would explain a lot.
And they would like to sing to us, you see, so they sang. And Derek and I, on the first occasion all this, there was everybody there being introduced to us, Mr. Mayor, the Mayor, and Monsieur Le Poste. You know, we were all part of the gathering. And of course they used to see us going out every night, because the way out of harbour led along the coast, the swept channel, to start with. So, and Derek and I decided that we both had learned some songs at school, French songs at school, and we thought we would. And so we gathered together beforehand, we worked it all out, and we got the words of Chevalier de la Table Ronde, which is a good old drinking song. Chevalier de la Table Ronde, goûte-moi si le vin est bon. That sort of thing.
I don't know it at all.
Well, there are many, many verses. If I die, let me lie in peace with my... I can't remember the translation now. But lovely, about eight verses. Yeah. And we knew them all and we knew how to pronounce them properly. And they thought it was incredible, you know, that les enclés. And so that sort of thing happened, which was marvellous. And they've come out at the parties ever since, because we've had reunions with the Canadians and all the junior dogs as well. many times, and I told you about their application, didn't I?
Yes.
To join the Junior Dogs Club.
You might want to talk about the beginning of the Junior Dogs Club as well, I think, because I think we might not have got that. You might want to talk about the beginning of the Junior Dogs as well, because I think we might have missed that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, because this is all now post-war, when we were setting up how we would get together in post-war, that we made a little club called the Junior Dogs Club, which was a group of officers who'd all known each other for a long time, and were all main task in the war had been first lieutenants and navigators. And there were six of us particularly, three who'd been in training together all the way through from being sailors, from HMS King Alfred, and then another three who'd all served with us all. And we decided on one occasion to form this Junior Dogs Club, which had certain routines about silly means of expressing, what's it called?
Give me a clue.
Anyway, don't worry. There are many clubs. Oh, people who shake hands with
old
hands.
Masons.
Masons, it's like, but silly things like that. And what we would do if we ever met in different during the war that was still to finish. If we got together again, we'd always have a drink in a certain way and so on. And and also that we would attend each other's weddings, and we'd club together always to buy a silver cigarette case engraved with all our names for everybody in the club. And that we did, and I was sad to say that many years afterwards, we had a meeting and discovered that only one, I think there was one left, I'm not sure. I think there was one, because all the rest had been stolen in burglaries and things. People don't think, do they? Yeah. And now there are only Derek and I and one other very unwell, and three have died. So the good die young. The not so good keep going. Now, I think we've exhausted.
I think we have. Thank you very, very much.